Penguin Audio presents Traveling with Pomegranates, a mother-daughter story written and read by Sue Monk Kidd and Anne Kidd Taylor.
Loss. Greece, Turkey, South Carolina, 1998 to 1999. Sue, National Archaeological Museum, Athens. Sitting on a bench in the National Archaeological Museum in Greece, I watch my 22-year-old daughter, Anne, angle her camera before a marble bas-relief of Demeter and Persephone, unaware of the small ballet she's performing, her slow, precise steps forward, the tilt of her head, the way she dips to one knee as she turns her torso, leaning into the sharp afternoon light. The scene reminds me of something, a memory maybe, but I can't recall what. I only know she looks beautiful and impossibly grown, and for reasons not clear to me, I'm possessed by an acute feeling of loss. It's the summer of 1998, a few days before my 50th birthday. Anne and I have been in Athens a whole 27 hours, a good portion of which I've spent lying awake in a room in the Hotel Grand Britannia, waiting for blessed daylight. I tell myself the bereft feeling that washed over me means nothing. I'm jet-lagged, that's all. But that doesn't feel particularly convincing. I close my eyes, and even in the tumult of the museum, where there seem to be 10 tourists per square inch, I know the feeling is actually everything. It is the undisclosed reason I've come to the other side of the world with my daughter. Because, in a way which makes no sense, she seems lost to me now. Because she is grown and a stranger, and I miss her almost violently. Our trip to Greece began as a birthday present to myself and a college graduation gift to Anne. The extravagant idea popped into my head 6 months earlier as the realization of turning 50 set in, and I felt for the first time the overtures of an ending. Those were the days I stood before the bathroom mirror, examining new lines and sags around my eyes and mouth like a seismologist studying unstable tectonic plates. The days I dug through photo albums in search of images of my mother and grandmother at 50, scrutinizing their faces and comparing them to my own. Surely I'm above this sort of thing. I could not be one of those women who clings to the facades of youth. I didn't understand why I was responding to the prospect of aging with such shallowness and dread, only that there had to be more to it than the etchings of time on my skin. Was I dabbling in the politics of vanity, or did I obsess on my face to avoid my soul? Furthermore, whatever room I happened to be in seemed unnaturally overheated. During the nights, I wandered in long, sleepless corridors. At 49, my body was engaged in vague, mutinous behaviors. These weren't the only hints that I was about to immigrate to a new universe. At the same time I was observing the goings-on in the mirror, I came down with an irrepressible need to leave my old geography. A small town in upstate South Carolina, where we'd lived for 22 years, and moved to an unfamiliar landscape. I envisioned a place tucked away somewhere, quiet and untamed, near water, marsh grass, and tidal rhythms. In an act of boldness or recklessness or some perfect combination thereof, my husband Sandy and I put our house on the market and moved to Charleston, where we subsisted in a minuscule one-bedroom apartment while searching for this magical and necessary place. I never said out loud that I thought it was mandatory for my soul and my creative life. How could I explain that?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?